10th, 2015, and we are in New Roman Reti, Florida, in Alachua, Florida, and this is your servant Leela Ananda Das. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 67, Verse 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasa Digaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a very interesting chapter. Lord Balaram slays Dvivida gorilla. Not anybody can slay a gorilla, no? Sakyu. Saha apachitin kurvam vanaraha rashtra viplavam pura grama akaram goshan adahat vanin utsrijan. Sakyuso pachitim kurvam. Sakyuso pachitim kurvam. Vanaro rashtra viplavam. Vanaro rashtra viplavam. Puragramakaram ghosham. Puragramakaram kosham adahadvanin utsrijam adahavanim utsrijam sakyuso pachitim kurvam vanaro rashtra viplavam Pura gramakaram gosham adaha vanimutsrijam sakyuso pachitim kurvam vanaro rashtra viplavam pura gramakaram gosham Adahat vanim utsrijan. Puragramakaram goshan. Adahat vanim utsrijan. More devotees. Sakyuso patitim kurvam. Vanaro rastra viplavam. Uragrama karam gosham adahava nimutsrijam. More Prabhus. Sakyu so patitim kurvam vanaro rastra viplavam uragrama karam gosham adahavani mutsrijam. Matajis. Sakyu so pachitim kurvam anarora saviplavam uragrama karam gosham adahavani mutsrijam. More Mataji. Sakyusho pachitim kurvam vanaro rastra viplavam puragrama karam gosham adaha vanning utsrijam. Any of the kids want to sing? You, go ahead. No. Let's go back to the first line. Sakyu. Sakyu so pachitim kurvam vanaro rastra viplavam puragrama karam gosham adahavani mutsrijam. You did a great job. Very nice. You should keep doing. Thank you. So Sakyu of his friend Naraka, whom Lord Krishna had killed. Saha he apachitim, repayment of his debt. Kurvam doing, vanaraha, the ape, rashtra, of the kingdom, viplavam, creating great disturbance, pura, the cities, grama, villages, akaram, and mines, goshan, cowherd communities, adahat, he burned. Vanin, fire. Utsrijan, spreading about. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. To avenge the death of his friend Naraka, the ape Dvivida ravaged the land, setting fires that burned cities, pillaged mines, and coward dwellings. Please repeat. To avenge the death of his friend Naraka, the ape Dvivida ravaged the land, setting fires that burned cities, villages, mines, and cowherd dwellings. He was one son of a monkey, huh? I got it. Krishna had killed Dvivida's friend Naraka, and to retaliate, the ape intended to destroy Lord Krishna's flourishing kingdom. In Krishna, Srila Prabhupada writes, his first business was to set fires in villages, towns, and industrial and mining places, as well as the residential quarters of the mercantile men who were busy dairy farming and protecting cows. He didn't leave much off the list. He was monkeying around. So let me repeat the verse. Sakyu so pachitim kurvam vanaro rastra viplavam puragrama karam gosham adahat vanim utsrijam. To avenge the death of his friend Naraka, the ape Vivida ravaged the land. How do you pronounce ravaged? What's the proper way? Ravaged. Ravaged the land, setting fires that burned cities, villages, mines, and coward dwellings. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyana chimirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshirumilitandjana tasmashirita. In this chapter was earlier explained, I believe in the previous verse, that Dvivida was not always a bad guy. Actually, he was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. But how did he become bad? Bad association. So association is so critical that by association, we can become purified or degraded. Now we see so many stories that a nice boy from a nice family, could be even a Hare Krishna family, suddenly he develops friendship with somebody that takes drugs, and before you know, he's all involved. He can't get out of it. No. And association is not only with people. There are many ways that we associate and we absorb knowledge, habits, culture. I was listening to a class from Radhanath Swami not too long ago, and he said, what 800 years of Muslim ruling could not do, and what 200 years of British ruling could not do, now the television is doing. And in India, you know, it's changing the culture. Association. Yeah? The television, and when you turn on the television, what does that mean? You have hundreds and thousands of people preaching to you. That's basically what it is. In a very organized and elaborate way, and with psychologists behind it, which way they should talk and which way is more appealing to people. There's a whole science. No? When I was growing up, the TV, at least in my house, was black and white. And all the cartoons and movies were very elementary. Zorro and, you know. Talk about Zorro, there's a nice pastime that I'm going to introduce here. When Surabhi Prabhu was initiated, you know, and then Prabhupada said, and your name is Zorro. And he said, Zorro? He thought to himself, everybody's getting, a Krishna name, Radha name, Chaitanya name. I'm getting a name from Mexico. And he went back and he was like confused. He said, maybe I did something. I deserve the name Zorro. You know? And then he was asking devotees and somebody said, no, it's not Zorro. It's Saraba. And what is Saraba? Oh, it's a Muslim guy. So now he became from Mexican to Muslim guy. A name. So finally, eventually, he found out that his name was Surabhi. So, but, now, miscommunication can cause a war, actually. So be careful with that. But by association, he changed from a great devotee of the Lord to an enemy of the Lord. So that's why we have to be so careful with association, who we associate with. Because people can be very convincing. Like the scientists, for instance. Now, we think that they are a bunch of baloonies that are just, misleading people. But they are convinced that they are right. And they can come to someone with all kinds of arguments and confuse the person. Yeah. Not too long ago, I decided to watch a video on YouTube that I had actually never had a chance to watch before. In the early 70s, there was a man called Ted Patrick. And he created an organization for deprogramming. And he is known as the one that coined this name, deprogramming. Because he thought religious people like the Hare Krishna, they are programmed to do something like robots, like zombies. And he was going to deprogram them. Bring them back to the normal life. You know? And there was a debate between Balavanta Prabhu and Hridayananda Maharaj on one side defending ISKCON, and Ted Patrick and a mother of somebody that supposedly had been programmed on the other side. And there was a PhD from a major university, I can't remember his name, as the moderator. And was a tough debate. You know, at one point, I remember Ted Patrick said, "You see?" No, Hridayananda Maharaj had his japa bead in his hand, you know. "You see? You see, look what he's doing. He's chanting, because if they stop chanting, then I can deprogram them. But if they keep chanting, I cannot." And then Hridayananda Maharaj gave a big laugh, actually. Oh, what an absurd thing, you know. But they see us like this, and then they think we need to help these people to free them from this. So we're going to give them our holy association to free them from this, you know, programming. So very difficult. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Pravritin cha, nivritin cha, janana vidurasura, na shocham, na pichacharo, na sachanti shuvidyate. When he describes the quality of the demoniac people, he's saying that pravritin cha, nivritin cha, janana vidurasura, the asuras, they don't know what is right to do and not is what is not right, what is right and what is wrong. Now we see, for example, if a son, actually I am corresponding with an Indian boy, he's a student, he found me on Facebook and he asked for friendship and I accept. And he said, "Now I have questions about becoming celibate because I want to become a brahmachari, I want to devote my life to God, but my parents are telling me that this is nonsense. This is nonsense. What should I tell them?" So we are communicating. But you see, even in India, that supposedly is a holy place, if he wants to be a celibate student, he said, "This is nonsense." If he wants to go running after the girls, his parents say, "Oh, this is very good. Good job. Well, you're a man now." You see, pravritin cha, nivritin cha. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. No. Nashocham napichacharo. You cannot find in them cleanliness or good behavior. And Nasatyam teshuvidyate. You cannot find truthfulness either. Now, these are the qualities of the demonic people. So, whenever we associate with anything or anybody, we want to know what is in it that can help my Krishna consciousness grow. That's our question. If you're going to associate with television, so what is in it that is going to help my Krishna consciousness grow? Very hard to find anything, you know? Or if you're going to associate with anybody, what is going to help my Krishna consciousness grow? But of course, sometimes we have to work outside and we have to relate to people that are not devotees of Krishna. So how do you do that without becoming influenced, becoming contaminated? How do you do it? Well, I had this situation and I still relate with many people that are non-devotees. I found that the best thing is that up front, you tell them, "I am a Hare Krishna. I'm a vegetarian. These are my principles." You make it very clear, you know. I remember that I had meetings, and in those meetings, people like to curse a lot. All kinds of cursing. But when I was in the meeting, my manager would say, "No, you should respect Joe. You should not curse him. He would not allow it." Because they knew that now I was not involved in it. So you have to make very clear what your position is. Because if you don't make your position very clear, then you never know what's going to come. So here, Brivida, he was really one of the top characters in Krishna Leela, in my point of view. Because all others, they attack Krishna, but this one directly offends the devotees of Krishna. We're going to see how he offends the gopis. The gopis think it's a joke because, no, monkeys, no, they play and people think it's a joke. I remember in Vrindavan, the last time I was in Vrindavan, I went to Mongol Arctic. I came back to my room to do something. And when I was leaving the room next to my room at MVT, the door was open. So I look inside. There are two monkeys inside, opening the suitcase and throwing everything around. And two people are sleeping. They're sleeping there in the room. I said, my God, when they wake up, they will have a heart attack. Two big monkeys. So I ran to the reception and I told the security guard, you got to do something there. These guys are going to panic when they wake up. And two Westerners, and they were guests, actually. They were not even devotees, you know. Can you imagine how they would feel? Maybe husband and wife, I don't know. You know. So monkeys are very tricky, you know, very disturbing. I was also shopping, and the shopkeeper told me, you know, you got to take off your glass. And my glass had that string that go, the security glass, you know, that can hang around your neck. And I didn't pay attention to him. I left the shop, and suddenly, boom, I didn't even see the monkey. But he wasn't able to get my glass because of the string, you know. But I didn't even see the monkey. And I looked around and said, what happened? And they said, it was a monkey. I said, wow. So they are like this. So this Dvivida was causing complete chaos everywhere. You know, and it's a gorilla. It's not a little monkey. It's a big monkey. And powerful, because it describes that he was so powerful, he could churn the ocean, actually. So this is not, you know, an ordinary monkey, of course. Now, actually, even ordinary monkeys can cause a lot of trouble and problems. So, but this was definitely not an ordinary monkey. But as we know, Krishna and Balaram, they take no prisoners home. Now, there is no pastime, at least that I know, maybe you know some, that they took a prisoner. Now, it's 1, 2, 3, and it's over, you know. And the demon is gone forever, or, of course, achieves liberation. It's difficult to sometimes for us to understand, especially for those who are non-devotees, how the Lord kills himself and benefits the person. I remember, I would like to speak a few minutes about Brahmananda, because he left us not too long ago, and I want to take advantage of this, if that's okay, if I have your permission. That's okay? There's no objections. Because Brahmananda Prabhu stayed at my house twice in New York. Now, when I moved to the U.S., one of my goals, I wanted to associate with people that it would be unlikely for me to associate with, because I was in Brazil, and Brazil is so off the central area, you know, North America, Europe, India, it's so off that, you know, it's unlikely that they would go there. And I read on the Sankirtan newsletter and the Prabhupada Lilamrita, but no, I would like to have their association. So when I moved to New York, I was always praying to my deities, please send these devotees to stay at my house. And many of them came, you know. Brahmananda, Bhaktitirtha Swami, Umapati, Malati, so many. And I was very happy. So Brahmananda came twice. And I always liked him very much. He was such a big and sweet. Very sweet person. And when I met him at the first time, he came to my house. And he was driving a big van. He had a big van. And on the side, there was a magnet. Big magnet that read, preserve and perpetuate, in a picture of Prabhupada. And this was, now, preserve and perpetuate Prabhupada's teachings. That was the goal. And on those days, he was following the Atkins diet. The Atkins diet is a diet that it's high in protein and low in carbohydrates. And he had lost a lot of weight, actually. He was looking really nice. And I saw him, well, now the pictures I saw of you, you were like, you know, much bigger. What is going on? He said, ah, you want me to show you? I said, yes. So he got from his van a shorts. He said, this is how I was. He was holding the shorts like this with his hand. And then he had a smaller shorts. And so I'm saving all of them as I lose weight. So it was actually a lot of fun to be with. And I had the chance to cook for him. So he was eating no carbohydrates, no grains. So he would eat vegetables with lots of ghee and lots of cream cheese. And actually, he could get a whole bar of cream cheese open, get on his end, and eat the cream cheese. And then he told me, and one night, he's about to sleep, and he told me, he had a machine next to him. And I said, what is this machine? He said, no, I have some sleeping disorder. And actually, this was a problem that I didn't know until later in life. And devotees would complain that I would not wake up from Mongol Arctic. But actually, I never slept well. And actually, when I woke up, I was tired. It wasn't a restful night until I found that I had this disorder. And now I use this machine, so this helps me to sleep well. I don't know if it was sleeping apnea or something else, but he had that machine. And also one day we were going to the Brooklyn Temple, from Long Island to the Brooklyn Temple, and in his van. And I asked him, Prabhu, sorry for asking, but what is your ashram now? You know, I was curious because he was sannyasi and then he was no longer sannyasi, and I wasn't sure if he was married or not. You know, and we were driving his van, and he said, now I am a vanaprastha. I'm a vanaprastha. He had great sense of humor. And then he also said, I was always asking him, please tell me something about Prabhupada. Tell me something about Prabhupada. I was on his case, begging him to tell me something about Prabhupada. And he said, you know that pastime about the $5,000 at the very beginning that Prabhupada told them, Prabhupada left for San Francisco. And there was some negotiation going on between the devotees and a real estate broker to buy a building. But Prabhupada told everybody, don't give any money to him. None. And he was very clear. However, devotees were not mature. And on the Lilamrita, there is a description of the past time. But Brahmananda told me, but I'm going to tell you what there was not on the Lilamrita. It's not included. And of course, my ears are this big, And he said, what happened is, the Lilamrita shows like I just gave the money to him. But it wasn't exactly like that. He called me urgently. Now remember, on those days, you could not just get your cell phone and text somebody and get an immediate response. We have to put things into context here. So, he called me urgently. And I went to his office, and his office was a huge office with a desk all the way on the end, a very impressive office. So I come in, and the man said, Bruce, you know how much the Swami wants this building? Bruce said, yes. And I want to get this building for the Swami. Yes. But we need to pay $5,000 today. We need to pay that now. Otherwise, we're going to lose the building. And I don't know how the Swami is going to see this. So the guy was expert and put him on the spot. And he was young and inexperienced. And immediately he gave the money. Just his intention was a good intention, actually. No, he wanted to help, probably. So when I first got in touch with him was in 2002. And Then I kept in touch with him, and I wrote once asking him about traveling on Thursdays. Now, what did Prabhupada say traveling on Thursdays? And he replied to me on February 13, 2003. Specifically, it's Thursdays afternoons when it's inauspicious to begin a journey. It came from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Once, when being forced to leave on a Thursday afternoon, he packed his bags on Wednesday night and moved them outside the house, justifying that he had commenced his journey on Wednesday and not Thursday. Regards, Brahmananda Das. Then I wrote to him again saying, please stay at my house next time you come to New York. He had stayed twice already. Then I sent an email to him asking what Prabhupada says about eating with your hands. I would like to know something specific. And he wrote on April 21st, 2003, Srila Prabhupada once said that the taste of vegetarian foodstuffs is improved by eating it with the hand rather than with an utensil. Regards, Brahmananda Das. Then I wrote to him on Facebook, and this was recently, like 2 months ago. Brahmananda Prabhu, I have a question for you. Last time you stayed at my house on Long Island, I asked you to speak about Prabhupada. I remember you saying that Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is 10% faith and 90% common sense. Would you please confirm this? I want to make sure that I'm still remembering it properly, because this was like 10 years ago. And he said, I just wanted to confirm, I do not like to give you to give out wrong information, I told him. And then he wrote, why are you asking this? Period. But then he said, but it is confirmed anyway. he told me, and I made a video of this at Washington Square Park, that he was the first devotee to go to Brazil. And actually in Brazil, we always thought it was somebody else. But he said they got invited by a TV program in Argentina. Now, for those who don't know, Brazil is like a diamond, like about the shape of Africa. And all the way south of Brazil, it starts Argentina. Okay? So they were invited to go to Argentina by a TV program. But the plane had a stopover in Rio, which is more or less center-south of Brazil. And they had some time and they thought, well, we got to do something here. So they sat at the airport. They could not leave the airport for different reasons. And they started doing kirtan. And then they prayed to Krishna and Prabhupada that, now we hope that Krishna consciousness will be established all over Brazil. And then they took the flight to Argentina. So they were the first ones to actually set foot in Brazil and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Brazil. And I also went to see him in Vrindavan the last time I was there. I always felt that he was a very sweet person and always conscious of Prabhupada. He was always talking about Prabhupada. He said that at one time on 26 Second Avenue, he decided that he was leaving. So in the middle of the night, he said, I'm out of here. There was a container with gulab jams that they kept at the main room. So he dressed up with his jeans. And when he was leaving, he saw those gulab jams. And he thought, well, let me eat one of them before I leave. So he ate one. And then he ate two. And then he ate three. And then he ate four. And then he decided to go back to sleep. And didn't go anywhere. Yeah, he had a big appetite. And you know that, that this is another beautiful story. At one point, he was expelled from ISKCON. And in his book, Swamiji, he's not shy about explaining this. Because he, Vishnujana, Subhao, they were saying that Prabhupada was actually God. Prabhupada was actually Krishna. And then they were expelled. To make a long story short, they were sent to Detroit. They were locked in one room the entire day. Then they were let go. You have to go. You are out of here. And they had 50 cents. All the money they had with them was 50 cents. So they decided to walk and walk and walk. What are they going to do? They have no place to go. And then they found some pine trees. You know, the pine trees, they have those pine needles that fall, and it's kind of soft. They decided to sleep there. So they sleep there overnight in Detroit. When they woke up, they were right across the Ford building. And they were hungry, and thirsty, and then he said, and you won't believe this, but I'm going to tell you. No. A boy came and said, my mother saw you, and she told me to bring some milk and bread. And the boy dropped some milk and bread and left. Isn't that an amazing story? Reminds us of that Bilva Mangala Thakur in Madhavendapuri. No? Amazing. No? And then they decided, well, there's a university nearby. Let's go to the university and we're going to chant. You see how Krishna, everything that Krishna does is right? You know, at the beginning we may not see that it's right, but later in life we see this is right. So they were chanting. And there was a young man there that he was doing gardening for the university. You know? His name was Brian. And he with his girlfriend, they went to some art exposition that day. And on the art exposition, they saw a picture of Krishna. And they asked the guy from the exposition, who is this? He said, it's Krishna. And so who is Krishna? And the man said, that I don't know. I just know it's Krishna, but I don't know who is Krishna. And he had in his mind, who is Krishna? You know, I would like to know who is this Krishna. So then they come out of that and they see a bunch of people surrounding something or somebody, and there is some ting, 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 ting come out of there. And they approached, Brian approached that place with his girlfriend, and is Vishnu Jana Swami singing, and Brahmanand and Subhau. And he was really impressed, and then the kirtan stopped, and Vishnu Jana starts preaching. He said, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Brian said, my God, what is going on? He became completely attracted to them. And then, eventually, everybody left. And the only ones left behind was Brian and his girlfriend. And Brian started talking to them. And he really liked them. He was attracted to them. And he said, no, why don't you come to my house? You know? And Brahmananda said, what are we going to eat there? And Brian said, well, we can buy some frozen pizza. No. Now, on those days, today you talk about this, you know, and nobody says anything. But on those days, we didn't eat any of this. You know, no grains cooked by Karmis at all. Now, anybody that was in the 70s knows this, you know. But Brian said, no, but I can buy whatever you want. He said, look, I just got my paycheck. It's $720. Now, let's go to a grocery store, and we can do some shopping. So they went to a grocery store. And then it was like one of those shows they have. Now, I haven't watched the shows, but I heard about it. That you have 2 minutes to get everything you can get from the supermarket, you know. So they went there, got everything. They spent $680. And then Brahmananda, first he had to cash, you know, he had to cash the check. They spent $680 and Brahmananda kept the change. Then they went to his apartment and Vishnu Jana would cook. And actually Vishnu Jana said that he used to wash Brahmananda. Although Vishnu Jana and Brahmananda were both sannyasis, Vishnu Jana used to cook for Brahmananda and used to wash his clothes, because Vishnu Jana said that I realized that Brahmananda was a more advanced devotee, and I decided to do that because it was good for my spiritual advancement. So Vishnu Jana cooked, you know? And then they offered, and they all ate. And Brian said that, and that became later became Indrajuna Swami. You know? You see what an amazing preaching, you know, that came out of this so-called expelling of devotees, you know. And then Brian says that he ate one plate and he was satisfied, and Brahmananda ate six plates. And then they stayed a couple of days, I believe 3 days. And then at one point, I'm going back to the point that sometimes we cannot understand things that Krishna does. Vishnu Jana had a silver spoon. And Brian said, they have a silver spoon. You were Swami. You're not supposed to have silver spoon. You know? You're supposed to be renounced. Because Brian was a vegetarian and he was into meditation as well. And Vishnujana said, you don't understand. Prabhupada gave me this spoon. So right now you don't understand. Perhaps one day you're going to understand that. But then, the next day, Brian woke up for his meditation and he thought he used to wake up early. He used to wake up at 7 a.m. And the devotees were waking up at 4 a.m. and they were gone. They were gone. And he started crying because he really liked this folk so much. He started crying. And on the table, there was the silver spoon with a note from Vishnujana Swami. Thank you very much for accommodating us and for financing the prasadam. I'm giving this spoon to you as a gift. And I hope you keep chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. And of course, we know the rest of the story. Yeah. But the Lord has His ways of doing everything. His magical ways. You know? And it's not only with devotees of Krishna. No, because everybody ultimately is a devotee of Krishna. Karmis also sometimes they see magical things happening in their life. Of course, as a Hare Krishna, we think our magical things are much higher because they're always related to Krishna. But we see also things happening. I'm going to finish here. There's 5 minutes if you want to ask any questions.
Ramananda Swami once visited Trinidad. So I was fortunate to be here. And we prepared a huge feast at the house of Krishna.
Get it close, a little closer.
We prepared a huge feast for Ramananda Swami at the house of Krishna Kripa Prabhu. So he sat down, all of us there. There was prasadam all around. And then he said, Srila Prabhupada once said, we belong to the International Society of Eaters. Saridya Vijaya.
Thank you.
One ounce of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous fear. That I remembered, as you mentioned, about the Gulab Jamun. I was a brahmachari then. And me and another brahmachari had a real heated argument. Really did. Apparently the president's wife, she was listening. And I decided to leave the movement because this thing might get physical. So I said, it's better I leave. And then on the way out, she said, Prabhu, excuse me, can you pick me some limes? Because we had a big lime tree in the yard. I said, okay. So I went and picked the limes. And after giving it to her, I decided not to leave.
And many stories like this. Many stories.
One more thing.
We have more questions. We have two more people.
Yeah, one more thing. If you're comparing India to other places in the world, India still is the holiest place. It is not presumably holy. It is the holiest place. As you have made a statement to the Indian boy.
Thank you.
The past times you were speaking about Indrajumna Swami, well, he was Brian and Ramananda and
Vishnujana Subal.
Right.
I think, I don't know, maybe somebody can confirm, I think Gargamuni was also there.
Possibly, yeah. But I heard that story about 25 times. Indrajumna Maharaj gave a lecture and I would listen it.
Indrajuna Maharaj said that he narrated this story more than 1,000 times.
Yeah, yeah. I heard it about 10 times. I have one, well, not a question, but like a comment. The gorillas, you were talking about Mahinda and Dravidya, they were during Lord Ramachandra time, and he was in Treta Yuga. And now he is in Krishna's pastime, which is the end of Dwarpa Yuga. So it's almost like 2 million years. So the size, their size also were reduced. It was not like when they were. I mean, they were still big, but they were not. And how did I get this? Hanuman was explaining to Bhima, because Bhima had met Hanuman. Hanuman was with those monkeys during Ramachandra time also. So Bhima met him one time, and his size also had reduced. But he was explaining to Bhima the size of these beings during Lord Ramachandra. He said they were humongous, huge, refuge. So when we find like all these huge fossils and stuff, like for the scientists, they're bewildered. They're saying dinosaur and this and that, really. But what is it? It is just, they were beings in the other ages, you know, they were just huge, but now they're calling them something else, you know?
Yeah, I don't have knowledge of that, so I don't even want to comment on that.
Yeah. In Kartik 2012, I was in Vrindavan, and Brahmananda Prabhu maybe once a week was speaking on Prabhupada's pastimes. And he also talked about this pastime of apparently getting expelled from the movement for saying that Prabhupada was God. And I just remember it was really sweet. Brahmananda Prabhu, he laughed and he said, "Now I don't say Prabhupada is God. I say he's better than God." Because he said, "God didn't come to New York to save me. Srila Prabhupada did." And of course, we understand Srila Prabhupada is Krishna's divine grace. He has Krishna's mercy, but it was just really sweet to see to hear Brahmananda Prabhu say that.
Yeah. A friend of mine published not too long ago, he went to see Brahmananda with another devotee, and this other devotee asked Brahmananda, "Brahmananda, where is Prabhupada?" And Brahmananda said, "Oh, he must be in hell." And the devotee said, "Hell? That's because Prabhupada is so merciful, that he goes to hell to take people out of hell." And then he kept glorifying Prabhupada. Somebody else, who was raising?
I remember in 92, middle of 92, he came with his brother selling some books in San Diego. So I invited him to the shops, as I do here also. So I remember we had a long discussion, many, many days. And one day I asked him something I remember very thoroughly. I said, "Purity is the force. What is that?" And then he was telling a story that 1966, when he joined, he was dropped out from school, you know, college student. He never finished his college. He says one day Prabhupada called him, and he had a 1,100 pages handwritten manuscript of Bhagavad Gita. There was no Bhagavad Gita of Ishkan that time. And he told him to go and publish. And he said that whenever Prabhupada, anytime said something, the purity was such a forceful that he could not say no. Rather, he was delighted, feeling very happy to do it. Whether he's capable or eligible, he didn't even think. He took this 1,100 handwritten Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita manuscript and went. And then he found the yellow pages, and he took the note down all the addresses of printers. And he personally went, and almost all the printing place were making a fun that, you know, you're supposed to type it out, you're supposed to lay it out. You just bring some handwritten and you assume that we're going to print out. So then he was thinking like, "But I have to do it. Even though he was in art and photography, nothing to do with the printing. But because he was thoroughly following Prabhupada, and he finally met this Macmillan biggest printing firm, and they accepted right then and there. So he convinced himself that Prabhupada is so pure. He had that conviction even in beginning that I will do anything for this man. And he made it all the time. He saw it.
Just an addition to what you said, the Macmillan Company, what happened is, and I used to work in that building of the Macmillan Company, Rockefeller Plaza. They received mail, one letter from the Macmillan Company. They were selling the disc. They had recorded an LP. I don't know if it was LP, but they had recorded a vinyl record, and they were selling. So a letter came from the Macmillan Company. And immediately Brahmananda, he was in charge of getting the mail. So he went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this is the biggest publishing company. So open. Oh, they want to buy a record. So Prabhupada said, tomorrow you go there and you personally deliver the record to this person. So he went there. He took the subway. He went to the subway station, Rockefeller Plaza. He got off the subway, went upstairs. But this guy was in the accounting department, had nothing to do with publishing. Yeah. And he told the secretary, I came here to deliver this to so-and-so. So just a moment. So he was waiting. And suddenly the man comes out with another man. Then Brahmana said, oh, I came to deliver this record for you. You want to buy the record? Oh, thank you. And I also have a book to publish from an Indian Swami. And the man said, that's interesting because this gentleman next to me, he's in charge of the religious publications. And the man said, so what do you want to publish? Is the Bhagavad Gita. And I said, wow, that's perfect because we have books about Buddhism, about this and that. We don't have a Bhagavad Gita. So that's how. So then he went back. He was completely, oh, another thing is that Prabhupada told him, he asked Prabhupada, should I take anything with me? And Prabhupada said, no, just the record. But Prabhupada, shouldn't I take the manuscript? No, just the record. So when he came back, he was now in ecstasy. And he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, they want to print your Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada was completely, you know, unassuming. Like, you know, if he already knew everything that was happening. And then they printed the first Bhagavad Gita. Just one last time, and I'm going to let you go because this is so nice. Brahmananda was in San Francisco with Prabhupada. They were going from the temple to his apartment. And there was a boy that used to visit the temple. And this boy was a macrobiotic. Yeah. And this boy told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you know, I like the movement, I like the philosophy, but this white rice and white sugar, this is not good. And Prabhupada said, but you know, our Brahmananda here, Prabhupada used to say, our Brahmananda, you know? Our Brahmananda, he eats this food. He's very strong. Now, Brahmananda became overweight later, but you know, when you look at the earlier pictures, he was just strong. Okay, they kept walking, and again, the boy brings up the subject. You know, Prabhupada, I like the philosophy, I like the chanting, you know, but the white sugar and the white flour. And Prabhupada said, you know, our Brahmananda, he's been eating this. It's very strong. Then for the third time again, the boy brings this up. And Prabhupada said, you see, Brahmananda is so strong. If I tell him to kill you, he will kill you. And Brahmananda said, no, I got ready. And it's the order of the spiritual master. I got ready. But the boy changed his mind. He didn't bring up the topic again. Oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada.